summoned all of its strength in the climb. It suffered all of its strength in the fall. Sometimes when he got into fighting, man, he could fight with you all day long. He was a good man, and now he's gone.
Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Nicholas von Hoffman, a former Washington Post columnist and author of Hoax, Why Americans Are Suckered by White House Lies, Capitalist Fools, and the forthcoming A Devil's Dictionary of Business. His new book is Radical, A Portrait of Saul Alinsky. Welcome to Background Briefing, Nicholas von Hoffman.
Hi.
And clearly we need some clarity here, Nicholas von Hoffman, about who Saul Alinsky really was, given that Newt Gingrich at every possible occasion refers to President Obama as a Saul Alinsky radical. And with the Tea Party types, that sounds vaguely foreign, Jewish, subversive, unpleasant. You were his protege, as it were. You worked with Saul Alinsky from 1953 to 1963, and you've written about him in the new book, Radical, A Portrait of Saul Alinsky. So where do you begin to set the record straight?
I don't know where to begin. you know, it's, with so much with Mr. Gingrich, you know, when you've made up so much, you don't even know which string to pull. Saul, of course, used the word radical as opposed to cream puff, somebody who wouldn't stand up and fight. He regarded liberals and conservatives of a certain stripe as basically people that you couldn't count on in a knife fight. So radical for Saul meant tough, purposeful, determined to take the point. You know, when Saul organized people, the idea was not to win moral victories, but to get, you know, jobs, houses, good roads, schools, etc.
So, and that's basically where he started, and he's kind of the father of all community organizers, starting in a very poor Chicago neighborhood of Woodlawn, up against the Daily Machine, right?
The back of the yards,
right?
The old slaughterhouse area. The first community organization he put together, because they were. This is in the 1930s. The packing house people had defeated one union after another, and Saul had the idea that the only way that you could ever get the slaughterhouses organized was you'd have to organize the community around the packing houses, and then with that support you could actually organize the places, and that's what they did.
But when he took on the Woodlawn neighborhood in Chicago, he was taking on Mayor Daley's machine, right?
Yes. And he had a lot of fun doing that.
So
Saul always enjoyed the work. I mean, he was not a grim person.
Uh-huh. Well, apparently he's a very funny guy.
Very.
And, you know, he in fact, tell us about... I mean, he smuggled guinea pigs into the Joliet State Penitentiary. And what was the famous Buffalo Fart Inn?
Well, it was Rochester, New York. At that time, he was organizing the black community in Rochester. This is in the era when Kodak was a mighty power. And the thing that they were most proud of was the Rochester Symphony Orchestra. So when Saul came into town, you know, one of his visits during the organizing drive, all the newspapers and what have you were out at the airport and looking panic-stricken as though Attila the Hun had just arrived. So they said, "What are you going to do, Mr. Alinsky? What are you going to do?" He said, "Well, I want you to know, you know, I'm not incendiary, nothing like that. I'm going from here to such and such church where our membership is coming together, and we are going to have a very large baked bean supper." And then after the supper, we're going to the Eastman Auditorium, and we're going to enjoy the symphony.
So, nothing, need you say more? So
he was just marvelous at letting the air out of stuffed shirts. He would have had such fun with Gnut.
Again, I'm speaking with Nicholas von Hoffman, a former Washington Post columnist and author of the new book, Radical, A Portrait of Sol Alinsky. And we're talking about how much Sol Alinsky has been appropriated by Newt Gingrich in this campaign, feeding all this sort of right-wing Tea Party frenzy about this President Obama being this this terrible radical, which he clearly is not. But Alinsky, you know, even though he's been, you know, pretty much, I guess he's a combination of Lenin, Stalin, Mao, all of the terrible things on the right-wing lexicon. He was neither a communist or a socialist. What was he?
No, he was, even though he was of a generation where a lot of people became Reds of fellow travelers, Saul never was. As he used to say, he had too good a sense of humor to sign up.
Yeah, or he couldn't turn on a dime like with the Hitler-Stalin pact, right?
No, absolutely not. He was not a doctrinaire man. Because he was in the trenches and trying to win specific things. And when you're doing that, you know you're never going to get it all. Saul used to say, he said, you're lucky in a fight if you're 51% right, but you have to fight as though you were 100% right.
So in the American lexicon, or pantheon, I should say, given the distortion from Newt Gingrich that claiming that President Obama is a Saul Alinsky radical, who stands out as a comparison? Would it be someone like Tom Paine?
Yes, he's got a lot. He loved Tom Paine, by the way. He's one of his favorite authors. He just loved Tom Paine.
Was he an atheist? Was Saul an atheist?
Was he an atheist?
Yeah. Well, Tom Paine was certainly an atheist.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. You know, I knew him all these years. I don't think we ever had a discussion about religion. It just never came up.
Right. So,
but he certainly, you know, when he was a kid, he was born in an Orthodox Jewish family, and they were observant, but he wasn't, you know, as an adult. But he had, I'll tell you, it was an interesting thing. He had some kind of magnetism in him that attracted religious people. It's quite amazing that everywhere he went, you had rabbis, ministers, and Catholic priests around him. There was something about him that they felt that he was a very spiritual man. And he had a 40-year, almost 40-year, relationship with Jacques Maritain, who in that period was the outstanding Catholic theologian. So it's not that he was deaf to things of the spirit, but he was too undoctrinaire, you know, ever to announce this or that.
Well, what I find extraordinary is how he was so he's been studied in spite of Gingrich's effort to suggest that he's the source of this European socialist Kenyan cabal led by a Muslim. That in fact he has been studied assiduously by Cesar Chavez and Hillary Clinton on the one side, and Dick Armey, the Tea Party, and that dreadful guy O'Keefe that did the acorn sting. So what is it about what he's telling political organizers of both the left and the right?
Well, I think one thing, there are two Sauls. There's one is, you know, the social philosopher and the guy who hired and trained Cesar Chavez and people like that. There is also the writer who had some very cogent things to say about how you go about organizing. Unfortunately, what these people do, they all, particularly, they get the book, Rules for, what's it called? Rules for Radicals.
Rules for Radicals, right.
Radicals. And they, they look at it and they slavishly copy what he has to say. Well, that doesn't work. But what he can give you, if you are trying to organize lots of people, he can give you some insights and ways of going about things. But you can't, even though he calls it rules, you can't just memorize it and apply it. It won't work.
Again, I'm speaking with Nicholas von Hoffman, a former Washington Post columnist and author of the new book, Radical, A Portrait of Saul Alinsky. You were his protege. You worked with him from 1953 to 1963. He says of you, in all the world, Nicholas von Hoffman, in all the world, my favorite drinking, talking, and thinking companion.
Well, we were very close. And even after I left him to go into newspaper work, we remained very close. And we talked almost once a week until he died.
And he died,
I was the best man at his wedding.
And he was pretty young, wasn't he? He died in 1972.
He was unfortunately very young.
At the age of 63.
I used to scream at him about what he ate. But...
Right. Well, and he didn't listen, clearly.
Well, he kept saying that if he got a heart attack, that's how he wanted to go, and that's how he went.
At the age of 63.
Yeah.
And in 72, that was still a pretty tempestuous year. He was...
Yes.
Very, I know he was very important to the Vietnam War movement, or the anti-Vietnam War movement, I should say.
He certainly was, and he was a ferocious opponent of it, needless to say.
So, Nicholas von Hoffman, one of the ironies about Saul Alinsky, and given the extent to which he's being framed in this debate by Gingrich as a sort of bête noire, because I think the subtext that the right-wing radicals and the Tea Party, and they frankly seem to have taken over the entire Republican Party, they can't hate Obama because he's a black man. That's not politically correct. But they can make up stuff about him that gives him permission to hate him, that he's not one of us, he's the other. He's, you know, he doesn't have a birth certificate, he's a Muslim, he's a Mau Mau radical and a Saul Alinsky radical, etc. But the other guy in the race, who seems to be the establishment candidate, Romney, he, of course, is moving further to the right as Gingrich makes these outrageous claims. And it's great irony, is it not, that in the Detroit riots during the Vietnam War in 1967, Alinsky was invited to discuss the civil rights struggle with then Michigan Governor George Romney, Mitt's father. Tell us about that.
Well, they had two or three conversations, basically about what the right approach was. By the way, a number of Republicans, including Goldwater, approached him from one time or another. There was some talk about whether they could work out some sort of joint strategy, this or that, but the end result was, at that time, Romney had just left being the president of American Motors, and it seemed to me that the enduring thing was that Saul fell in love with the Nash Rambler, which was American Motors' car. But, it's very difficult with these politicians to get them in critical situations to make the kinds of moves they have to make. I mean, Goldwater talked to him about civil rights, too. And, Goldwater's concern, which has considerable validity, is that these civil liberties, civil rights laws, can pose a threat to individual liberty. But Saul's position with Goldwater and a number of other of these people is, yes, you're right, but if you are going to oppose them or oppose this kind of thing, the obligation falls on you then to come up with something else that's going to work. The one thing you cannot do in the face of evil and wrong is do nothing.
Well, it's interesting that Goldwater argument is being brought back around Ron Paul, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, it's always there, and it has its place, but you can't do nothing.
So Tell me a little about your book, Radical, A Portrait of Saul Alinsky, Nicholas von Hoffman. The book reveals a whole bunch of stories about politicians, bishops, gangsters, millionaires, and labor leaders, many of which Alinsky didn't want to talk about and make public in his lifetime. He gave you permission, did he, to spill the beans?
During the time that all this stuff was going on, remember, Saul was not a man that was interested in moral victories. When he made a compact with a group of people in a community or wherever to work on organizing, it's because those people wanted certain things. So in that situation, you never get the whole thing. You want to get as much as you can get. You don't want moral victories. If you've got people who need housing, et cetera, they don't need moral victories. They don't need people to say, look how bad those other people are. They need houses. Well, that means all kinds of deals have to be made. Stuff has to be done. And some of it is stuff that you don't want to talk about until well after the fact. And a lot of the things in the book are well after the fact.
And what was his critique of Martin Luther King's organizational tactics?
Well, he admired King, but he basically said, you know, King couldn't organize a two-car funeral. I mean, he was a man of the spirit, you know, of the hurricane of the times. And anybody who was near the King stuff during those years, you know, who was a detached critic, will tell you that it was a wildfire, but it did not have stable, enduring organization, which for some things you must have if you're going to get certain kinds of things accomplished. So and Saul was very much aware of that.
Well, just in closing, Nicholas von Hoffman, it's, you know, pretty extraordinary given the range of people that have been influenced by him and have sought out his works, particularly his book Rules for Radicals. Hillary Rodham Clinton apparently wrote her senior thesis at Wellesley College on him. Have you ever seen the thesis?
Yes, I've read it.
What's it like?
Well, I think it's a very good paper for a young person who is a college senior. You know, you can't expect more than that.
Right. But did she? Do you think there's any evidence that he informed her political life in any way?
Well, she'd be the one to say it may have, but I wouldn't feel comfortable making that judgment. I might say, by the way,
just in the last seconds here, because we're running out of time.
Oh,
go ahead.
I would just say we have much to thank Newt for, and in all of this business with Alinsky, which is that he's brought Alinsky forward again, and Alinsky's ideas, Alinsky's approach, Alinsky's idealism, and for that we can be very grateful.
Well, I thank you so much for joining us, Nicholas von Hoffman.
Well, thank you for having me.
Again, I've been speaking with Nicholas von Hoffman, a former Washington Post columnist and author of Hoax, Why Americans Are Suckered by White House Lies, Capitalist Fools, and the forthcoming A Devil's Dictionary of Business. His new book is Radical, A Portrait of Saul Alinsky. So what do we learn on Background Briefing today? Well, we began talking about this stealth way to try and shut down the Occupy movement that's going on down in Chattanooga, Tennessee. The Occupy Chattanooga people are being taken into federal court by the city council, who have passed an ordinance which they want to have validated by federal law that actually charges the occupiers with court costs. So they're in effect preempting any kind of law by creating a burden on protest and making people pay for protesting. And if they could pull this off, it could have a very chilling effect on protest in this country, which is why I talked to both the attorney down in Chattanooga, David Vesey, and the attorney for a public citizen in Washington, D.C., Scott Michaelman, because clearly the tactic here is for cities to avoid the negative publicity and the police and stuff, tear gas and all that, by simply forcing people into court to pay court costs in advance of anything that they've done. It's an extraordinary abuse of the judiciary system. So it's something we should continue to watch. And then I spoke with American University historian Alan Lichtman about, he's predicted the presidential outcomes of all U.S. presidential elections correctly since 1984. We were discussing the conniptions, the absolute fear gripping the Republican establishment that 2012 could be a repeat of the 1964 Goldwater blowout. He actually thinks that that Gingrich, in spite of his lack of money and organization, is going to go all the way, and that the Tea Party will stick with him. You know, they clearly, if they had found a right-wing candidate, it would have been a romp. But even with Gingrich and Santorum and Perry and all these guys running against each other, there's still enough of angry people out there on the Republican right who just can't stomach Romney. And Gingrich may well be able to take them all the way to the convention in August in Tampa, and create a kind of situation not unlike Goldwater in 64, which of course led to a blowout with a romp by LBJ. Apparently, the historian pointed out to us, Alan Lichtman, that there is an analogy there, because the guy, the Mitt Romney of the time against Goldwater, was none other than Rockefeller. So then I spoke with the protege of Sol Alinsky. Sol Alinsky's name's being bandied about by Newt Gingrich in a ridiculous way, but you know that's not surprising. He refers to President Obama as a Sol Alinsky radical. But Nicholas von Hoffman actually worked with Alinsky from 53 to 63, and he's the author of the new book, Radical, A Portrait of Sol Alinsky. And he was really able to explain who this fascinating man really was and what his activism was really all about. It transcended the left and the right, and people like Siva Shazer, Hillary Clinton, the Tea Party, everybody's tried to learn from him. Fascinating interview and a fascinating subject. This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon. This program is available for podcasting at ianmasters.com. You can also contact me, and I'll be back again tomorrow with another Background Briefing. Bye for now.